Mahomes in a shotgun. Kareem Hunt, the running back, goes in motion to set up a strong side. And now Mahomes looking right. Now the back of the end zone caught. DeAndre Hopkins, welcome to the Chiefs kingdom. Your first kingdom touchdown, Kansas City.
Chiefs Radio Network. Everyone excited. DeAndre Hopkins, a difference maker last night. 8 catches, 86 yards, 2 touchdowns. Kelce had 14 catches for 100 yards. Kareem Hunt was making his impact. And, you know, obviously Mahomes is Mahomes, even though he got banged up in this game. Tweaked an ankle at the beginning of the fourth quarter, but of course stayed in because no one is ever talking Patrick Mahomes out of playing in a game. Apparently the medical staff for the Chiefs might as well just, you know, take the night off.
You know, it's funny. We take it for granted, the crazy stuff he does. Now, the play that he got hurt, he somehow flipped it. And there was a defender between him and the guy who caught the ball. He just flipped it backhanded. It was like the perfect little flip. Like, of course Mahomes did this. Any other quarterback did it, it'd be the best play they ever had. My favorite play of Mahomes last night, he was scrambling, and he was caught behind the line. It was going to be a sack. Switches the ball to his left hand and somehow chucks it with a spiral 20 yards downfield to avoid the roughing. Like, that guy is, we are totally taking him for granted at this stage. Is that fair to say?
No, I'm not taking it for granted at all. I think they're going for the undefeated season. I have a very healthy fear of Mahomes.
What do you mean by going for the undefeated season?
This is what I mean by it. I think that when you get off to and get out to, like, really big leads, which it appears the Chiefs are going to have in the AFC West. There is not going to be another challenger. I thought the Chargers maybe, but it's not going to happen that way. Obviously, the Raiders are a complete joke, and the Broncos, you know, have a rookie quarterback, have a nice record, but I don't think that'll hold a candle to the Chiefs. There's something about playing for keeping our guys healthy at the end of the year, making sure we're, you know, as conservative, stuff like that. If you really were trying to be conservative, last night Patrick Mahomes doesn't go back in that game. You let Carson Wentz, who they said on the broadcast actually does not take any snaps with the first team in practice, but that's fine. You would be conservative, I think, and hold him out of the rest of that game. I think they are going for history with an exclamation point. The three-peat and the undefeated season on top of it. I think they've got all of these lofty goals, probably thinking this could be the last year with Kelce. It just feels like they're going for the throat here. I know that the margins they're winning by is not a lot, but don't you agree that once you keep Mahomes out of that game yesterday, if you're really just thinking, all right, this is just a non-conference game in the early November.
Is that guy?
You're the only person in America who thought for half a second that Mahomes wasn't coming back into that game. Once you saw him jogging on the side, that wasn't going to happen. That's just not a thing. There was no way Mahomes wasn't coming back. No, I honestly think like they're in a sense experimenting in this regular season because they're playing so conservatively that they obviously they should have at home blown this team out. They were going against a team with Sterling Shepard and Trey Palmer as their starting wide receivers. They started off with a drive where Xavier Worthy somehow found the sideline and took a touchdown. There was no reason the Bucs should be hanging in that game in a primetime game in Kansas City in that sea of red. I just think the Chiefs are playing so conservatively. They're like, you can't win every close game. They're like, you know what? We're gonna depend on Mahomes in the fourth quarter. Honestly, I think if they were really putting, as you said, their foot on the throat, like they would start to pass the ball downfield once in a while. They're just playing so incredibly conservatively. You can't. You're going to be in so many close games playing this style. Like, you can't win every single score game this way.
Okay, I'm actually surprised because you're really the weather guy around here. I'm surprised that you didn't bring this up. You're looking for explosive plays downfield when the rain is getting worse as the game's going on.
Yeah, but what about the rest of the season? They have nothing.
Listen, I don't care about style points. You win the game that you're in. You know, and that's exactly what. Listen, do you want to go to overtime? No, you don't. But to be fair, they just took advantage of a couple Bucks miscues. And Todd Bowles should have definitely gone for two and gone for the win. Monday morning quarterback, whatever you want to say, that's the way to get out of there with a win. Not going to overtime. What do you think Kyle Shanahan was thinking, sitting wherever he was sitting last night, watching that game? Like, good luck to you. You want to go to overtime with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Shanahan, it's a dark day. Shanahan's the guy who took the ball first in overtime. He has No idea. He barely understands the rules of overtime. But
well, he still wouldn't have won under the postseason rules or the regular season rules. It wouldn't have mattered because they kicked the field goal in the Super Bowl.
If they go for two, they would have been up by 1 point with 27 seconds left and the Chiefs at the 30-yard line. They wouldn't have even needed overtime. The Chiefs definitely would add a Harrison Butker field goal to win that game.
Yeah, you say that, but they also just punted on the last two drives where they went three and out.
I don't think it was raining by overtime. Was it?
That's what Laura Rutledge said is coming on. It was coming down harder than it had all game. That she said the towels were working overtime before overtime.
Yeah, fourth quarter.
But you're such a weather guy, Pearl. I'm surprised you're not factoring the weather into this at all.
No, I mean, I think honestly the Bucks were worried like we're gonna have this perfect pass on the 2-point conversion. It'll go right through somebody's hands because Kate Otten had a drop. It was really hard to catch that ball late in the game. So I think that's, and also 27. They definitely. I mean, come on, this is Mahomes. So he would have had no problem. He could have thrown it left-handed and gotten down the field. From the 30 to the other team's 40 with 27 seconds. That's almost too much time. They would have had to run a couple run plays to kill the clock. Come on, man. I guess twice as much and one more second and 13 seconds. But the funny thing was, and the announcers rightfully killed, like, Bulls, don't call a timeout there. If you're at the 1 yard line,
oh, I know.
Don't leave 30 seconds for Patrick Mahomes and then run. I thought the Bucks were going to have like an illegal procedure play and get somehow blow that 1 yard. They got basically first and goal at the one with 33 seconds left, I believe. And it felt a little precarious for the Bucks. I felt like they were holding on for dear life at that point.
Yeah, they definitely were. But to be fair, they got themselves in position. Again, I think you got to go for the win there. And I don't think your fan base is going to turn on you for going for the win. You guys can tell me, you know, if you're in that position. I know that you had just lost, three of your last four. Now you've lost four of your last five. But you have lost already two to the Falcons. So the division is pretty much over. It's over. And I don't think the fan base has an uprising here if you go for two. I think people understand it. They get it.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a good point, right? Like, this, the point of the season, you might as well go for it.
Like, what do you want? Glazer family? Like, who? The GM? Like, you got analytics people on staff. What do you think they said? Extend the game against the Chiefs? Who would ever think that's a good idea? Again, talk to Kyle Shanahan about that. See how fun it is to go to overtime with the Chiefs. It's a death sentence.
Pain. Pouring rain. What are the odds on that 2-point conversion?
I don't know.
What do you call? You're the coach. If it's so easy, do you call a run play? Are you putting the whole game into one run play?
Listen, you know how much I love Bucky Irving.
Yeah, I guess it just feels like Baker Mayfield's kind of feeling it. That's a hard call there because if you pass the ball, you have a real concern about the wet ball.
But don't you live with the consequences? Like, that's the thing. I'm going process over results here. I'll live with the consequences if my head coach does this. You know, you were an 8.5-point underdog in this game. You're here. You're at the 1 yard line. You score. Go for the 2-pointer.
But if you win the coin toss, you probably win the game.
Do you?
Probably. Yeah.
I think
Casey's defense was kind of gassed by then.
Maybe they were, but then maybe Chris Jones comes up with the play of the play of the game.
Maybe, but I don't know. I'm not sure. I in my heart know the Bucks were not going to convert that 2-point conversion. By the way, a lot of teams had
in your heart. Is that some new math?
Well, like, what is that?
Analytic? It's Perloff's heart.
Give me the percentage of 2-point conversions this year because I do not think it's 50%. I've seen a lot of failures on 2-point. This whole thing, we're down a touchdown on the road, go for the 2-point conversion. That has not worked a single time this season.
It hasn't been working a lot, but you just said their defense is gassed. They just were, you know, had to defend a 10-play drive that went 70 yards. Like, maybe you catch them on your heels for a second. I don't know. That's just me. But meanwhile, we were talking about, and you're welcome to weigh in here at 855-212-4227. I think the Chiefs look as good as ever, especially with the additions of Hopkins. Obviously, Kareem Hunt, these guys are paying dividends. Pacheco's going to be coming back at the end of the month. Perloff, you think they look vulnerable for the regular season, sort of jonesing to lose a game.
Oh, they're built, right? They're building for the postseason right now. The fact that they didn't blow out the Las Vegas Raiders in a revenge game has to tell you something. Like, man, they are following this formula to the end, where we're not going to We're not going to try and pass the ball downfield and get a big lead, which I think the only worry about this, Maggie, and I had the same thing for my Eagles, like you're going to be in a lot of close games. You're going to wear down Patrick Mahomes. Like you're definitely going to, Patrick Mahomes is going to have to run in the fourth quarter of all these games. Can you win one easily and give him a little bit of a break?
You jabroni! I mean,
it's the NFL. Like things aren't going to come easily to you, and especially not in a three-peat.
Ankle sprains are definitely coming easy. Like at a certain point, like, yeah, his health is an issue for sure. And trust me, I saw him on one leg beat the Eagles in the Super Bowl. But that being said, there's a lot of season left. We have no idea what it's going to look like in December.
So here's Mahomes last night. He tweaks the ankle at the beginning of the fourth quarter. Andy Reid suggested that he come out of the game, had already told Carson Wentz to warm up. And here's Mahomes. He thought Reid was joking.
I thought he was joking. He said it, and I was like, "Come on, like we're not doing this again." He trusts me. And once the doctors checked it out, and I was able to get back and do the drops again, he let me get back on the field.
I mean, we saw this, and that was the AFC Championship game. A much different, stakes were a little bit higher with the high ankle sprain against the Bengals, and he talked his way back onto the field.
But I can't believe he was carried off the field like 5 minutes earlier. Why do you think that was a joke? By the way, this year the Bucs are 33% on their 2-point conversions. Last year they were 40% on the whole season.
I love that they go to the Kansas City Chiefs team doctor and the guy just like, you know, is it Paul Rudd? Like, who is it on the sideline? That
Chiefs-aholic.
That person has very little power.
That was sweet.
By the way, last year, right now we're seeing a historic drop in success rate on 2-point conversions.
Yeah.
So this year, but prior to this past weekend, it was at 31%, which is like a decades-long low, which is down from 55% last year. So
yeah, it's a real problem.
Yeah, it's bizarre as to why there's been such a substantial drop even just from one season so far.
It doesn't even, like, they don't look close, most of them. I mean, there's a lot of sacks on 2-point. How do you take a sack on a 2-point conversion attempt? I must have shot 5 times last weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird.
And the bad teams are even worse, like the Giants, teams like that.
Yeah, why do we think this is?
The only thing I can think of is I think you're
seeing teams that are trailing by two scores and decide to go for the 2-point conversion to try to make the math work.
I think we're seeing more teams do it. And I think maybe just defenses are a little more prepared for those 2-point plays. The one thing I see almost all the time now is teams just take a timeout. Like, you come out in your set, and then they're just taking a timeout, and they don't let you run your first play. Like, they want to get a look at it, and then you're having to go to a second play, or if you even run that second play, they just look more prepared for the first one.
Also, Nick Sirianni's contributing to this as a single. He's a force in this failure get the 2-point conversion.
He's
a Trojan horse in the numbers.
Have you ever been on, like, traveled on a really little airplane? Like the puddle jumpers and stuff like that? Have you guys ever commuted on one of those before?
Scary. Yep.
And sometimes they'll have to actually ask people to sit on the opposite aisle.
Get the weight balance,
balance it. This is Nick Sirianni tilting the plane to one side. He's responsible for the plunging success rates of 2-point
conversion. Dirty yards out there.
I mean, I think every fan thinks the same thing. It's a 2-point conversion. Your quarterback rolls right and has a run-pass option. Like, that's the play that everybody, I think that defenses have figured out to some extent. And I'm telling you right now, that the 2-point conversion, Todd Bowles was not converting a 2-point conversion. You know Todd Bowles. There's no way.
Mayfield. I mean, he's not a bad quarterback. Baker was on a heater on that last
drive. It would have to be a real tight window throw with a sopping wet ball. I'm not sure. And they're not going to run it in that situation. You don't go down running. So I think it would have been a tough play.
855-212-4227. Sorry, that was a Penn State joke there that I was going to make, and I'm not going to make it now. Running right into the defense on 3 straight plays.
Oh. We went back to that guy in The Departed who was questioning James Franklin.
I was bringing up old stuff. 855-212-4227.
No. Strong no.
We've got a big, big return on the horizon as far as the NFL is concerned. Somebody was back at practice. Somebody could be turning the tide for their team. Somebody whose initials are CMC. We get to that next. All right, Perloff. I know.
I had a tough loss last night, but I'm coming back.
But this is the thing that I love about your relationship with Prize Picks. It's one that's built on a foundation of optimism, because Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action while you watch football or the NBA. We've got college basketball in full effect right now. 10 million members, billions of dollars in awarded winnings. You can't go wrong. Prize Picks has made daily fantasy sports accessible to all. The app is so easy to use. Just download it. Pick two or more players across any sport, then just pick more or less on their projection, and you could win up to 100 times your money.
Yeah, Prize Picks is even invented flex play. So if you could cash out if one of your picks doesn't hit, this is a really interesting time, too, because there are so many sports going on. Some of these guys, there's one XANT3R. Turns out, I don't know what game he plays, but if he has 18.5 maps/headshots, more or less, that's all you do is you pick more or less. It doesn't matter if it's a game or if it's soccer, if it's basketball. This is the most fun time of year. All time of year is fun, but this is crazy with Prize Picks. You download the Prize Picks app today and use the code MNP and get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. That's code MNP on Prize Picks. You get a $50 credit instantly when you play just $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. Must be present in certain states where it's lawful to wager. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Mand P.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam and just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. All right, Maggie, you mentioned Kyle Shanahan was on his couch last night watching the Bucks-Chiefs overtime game, thinking, oh boy, Bucks, this is not going to go well for you.
Todd, don't do it. Go for two. Do not go to overtime with the Chiefs. Well, learn from our mistakes.
Yeah, who knows? Kyle Shanahan find new ways to blow Super Bowls and big games. But he does have a new weapon back.
Christian McCaffrey back at practice. 49er fans, rejoice. This is the only thing that can come and save the season. This is it. Ayuk's not coming back. This is the thing. And I don't know if they are going to make another move, Perloff, the 49ers. I mean, their cap situation feels like it's pretty up to the tippity top. I don't know how much flexibility they really have.
That's a myth. I mean, come on. The cap? There's no real cap, Meg.
Okay. They only spent a whole offseason trying to, you know, negotiate with Ayuk. But anyway, I think that this is the hope. This is it, guys. If you want to repeat, probably, of the Super Bowl and get another shot at Mahomes, or just take advantage of an NFC that, quite frankly, kind of looks like the Lions and everyone else, this is the opportunity. A healthy Christian McCaffrey, this tilts the field back in your favor.
I think that's not enough. I think they need to really, really invest in defensive end. And I know Max Crosby's not really gettable, and I don't think the Raiders would trade with their former Bay Area partners, and you can't trade. But they desperately need to reshape this defense, because the old scary Niners defense is like a distant memory right now. They need a pass rusher. I know last year they got Chase Young, and maybe they'll get him again this year. But they definitely, like, it's Nick Bosa or bust. Like, that defense is not doing it anymore. Like, what? And I still don't understand. Like, were D'Amico Ryans and Robert Saleh that amazing a defensive coordinator? This used to be. Remember what they used to do to the Cowboys? Like, they would terrorize other offenses. They came into the link in that game where Brock Purdy got hurt, and they were all over Jalen Hurts. I know the Eagles won the game easily, but they were an aggressive pass-rushing team, and now they're just a normal defense.
Remember when they traded DeForest Buckner because they had, like, a wealth of pass
and Armstead,
rushers?
And Eric Armstead, too, I think.
Well, the other thing is I can't give you a lot on the defense, although Dre Greenlaw could have a little bit of hope that he's going to be obviously back soon when he got hurt in the Super Bowl. But can I also offer you, I'm surprised you didn't bring this up, not just Juwan Jennings, who is back on the field, but also kicker Jake Moody.
Oh, yeah, that's a big one.
Back on the practice
but that's
field
not,
Monday.
None of that's enough if their defense is not elite, Maggie. Like, it doesn't, even McCaffrey doesn't matter.
I disagree with that.
They're not going to offense their way. Like, they've been falling down in the defensive rankings every year. The 2019 was the best defense in the league. Does it look anything like that to you anymore?
It doesn't, but is it enough for them to win the division?
Only yes. God knows.
I think Detroit would put a 40 burger on them in the playoffs.
I'm talking about the division. Is there?
Oh,
there's
yeah,
still,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's.
But that's
thing.
Not the goal here. Is that what we're doing with the Niners?
I'm going baby steps on this thing because I think that the division is still there to win. Arizona Cardinals are in first place right now. Want to talk about their defense? You have the Rams, who are always one injury away. And then you've got the Seahawks, who seem like they're kind of Jekyll and Hyde, maybe falling apart a little bit, not really sure what to make of the Seahawks. And their losses, some of them, they just look so bad.
No. We can't do with division. This is, if he wins a division and loses in the playoffs, it's a disaster year for Kyle Shanahan. Who cares?
I'm just saying you get back to the top of the division, that's got to be goal number one. And you're telling me you can't do that with offense, and I disagree. I think you can win this division. And then you see what happens, right?
I didn't tell you that. I said they can't win the Super Bowl unless their defense is elite.
Well, they've had elite defenses and didn't win the Super Bowl, so I'm just sorry.
Well, I mean, their defense carried them forever, and now it's like there's just too much on Bosa. It's like it's either he gets to the quarterback or he doesn't. So we'll see. You're right, though. They do have to concentrate on actually making the playoffs. That's a minor detail.
This is you're skipping steps here, and I'm saying for 49er fans, I'd love to know how they feel at 855-212-4227. Season back on now with McCaffrey. Back at practice.
Oh, I'll bet you their odds are crazy high that they get to the playoffs.
I would guess so.
I mean, I don't think that I think if you're a Niner fan, you have to set bigger goals. Like, I'm sure that maybe this is overconfidence, but I think they have no doubts they're getting the playoffs. The question is what happens there.
Next four for the San Francisco 49ers. You're at the Buccaneers, so a team that just went to overtime with the Kansas City Chiefs. You then have the Seahawks, at the Packers, at the Bills. It's not going to be easy, but McCaffrey will certainly help.
A lot of injuries on that list right there.
Andrew Bogut.
I don't like playing this game.
Is here with us. What's up, folks?
Guys, good to see you again. Your headlines this time are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, your furry friends with life, electronic device, and pet health insurance. It certainly looked like Baker Mayfield knew the Bucs made a mistake relying on the overtime coin flip to win at Arrowhead last night, throwing his head back when the Chiefs got the football. The Tampa QB had just done this.
Mayfield under center, down by 7. Snap, spin, fakes the handoff, throws end zone, backpedaling catch, in the corner, touchdown! Ryan Miller! An easy throw, a quick 6, and the Buccaneers are an extra point away from tying the game with 27 seconds in regulation.
That's Kevin Harlan on Westwood One. Tampa did kick and make that tying PAT. Instead of going for 2 and the win, Mayfield called the wrong side of the coin. The Chiefs got the ball and never gave it back. Kareem Hunt, a game-ending 2-yard touchdown run for a 30-24 victory. And now Baker's team has lost 3 in a row.
A lot of resiliency by our guys. Guys up front played well. Everybody was kind of making plays, and a lot of guys that not necessarily had played a lot making plays for us. So, there's a lot of positives to take away from it, but, you know, there's a certain point when you lose 3 in a row, how many positives are you going to take away from it before you really get sick of it?
They are 4-5, 2 games behind the Falcons in the NFC South.
Does anyone know who the heck is Ryan Miller? The guy who came out, is he a combination of Scotty Miller and former tight end Ryan Griffin? I was like, Ryan Miller with the touchdown. Ryan Miller, that sounds like a name I would know. Is he somebody? I don't think he is.
I thought it was Scotty Miller for most of the game.
I thought Scotty Miller was like, I remember Scotty Miller getting deep and beating the DB. He looks a little slower right now.
A little different.
I only know hockey goalie Ryan Miller.
I
think he's from there too, isn't he? I might be wrong about that.
He's definitely American. He's American.
Can we talk about the fact that Kate Otten is now an NFL star?
I mean, wow.
He's really good. He's definitely the best player on that offense, right? I mean, maybe Irving, but he's really, really good. They couldn't stop him last night.
It's a dark day.
The Chiefs, meanwhile, they're 8-0 this morning. They've won 14 in a row dating back to last season. 3 touchdown passes from Patrick Mahomes, 2 of them to DeAndre Hopkins. Mahomes did twist his left ankle early fourth quarter, limped off the field, but did not miss a snap, and expects to be just fine. Panthers head coach Dave Canales said yesterday he is still deciding between Bryce Young and Andy Dalton as a starting QB for this weekend. And the NFL did us all a solid yesterday, taking Jets-Colts off Sunday Night Football in Week 11. Bengals-Chargers gets primetime instead.
Yeah. Slow clap for the league on that one. Thank you. Good job out of you, Goodell.
You guys watch the Chargers play? That's a tough watch.
Don't watch the Jets play.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't feel like Bengals-Chargers, that feels like an afternoon game.
Joe Burrow just threw 5 touchdowns.
Yeah, he's exciting. I don't know. The Chargers.
To be honest, the Jets part of this is not why I'm glad that they flexed it out. I don't want to watch the Colts.
Well, yeah, by the way, are you talking to Anthony Richardson or are you talking Joe Flacco?
We don't know.
I don't care. Pass. Richardson, 48-year-old Peyton Manning they could bring back. I'm just no Colts.
Okay, now I'd watch that if Peyton played.
Might be interesting. He could do the Manning cast and do the game.
That's funny. I thought we all were kind of into the Colts a little bit. Like, they're like a little scrappy Colt. I don't know.
I was into them before the season started. Then they played games. Now I'm out.
I don't know. They got Jonathan Taylor sometimes. He once in a while shows up. Anthony Richardson's interesting. Okay, I didn't know the Colts were on the boring heap.
Nah, I'm out.
Yeah, no thanks.
I mean, they're not the Titans, are they?
It's a no for me, dog.
Mm. I mean, are they? Are they? Aren't they? What's
the difference? If you watch a Colts game with Anthony Richardson, you are getting a close, weird ending.
They might as well go back to him. They went to Flacco to make the playoffs. See, now we're talking about the Colts. This is exactly what I was hoping to avoid. And the league was also hoping that we would avoid talking about the Colts as well because they flexed them out of primetime. But
gosh, I am sitting here. I'm not going to take this Colts slander.
How many more Joe Flacco games do you need to see?
Well, how many more Anthony Richardson benchings do you need? You like him more than Shane Steichen right now.
You guys were all thrilled when Joe Flacco was taken over 2 weeks ago, and now because he has one bad game, we're off the Flacco bandwagon?
I don't know. I'm digging back into the numbers with the Browns. Looks like the defense was really doing a lot of the work there.
But are you also preaching commitment now? You wanted us to stay on the Flacco bandwagon?
I don't know. I just feel like I think this is unfair to put the Colts in the sort of Titans, Raiders, 4 o'clock window kind of boring team you can barely watch. I feel like they're a little more.
Who's the dynamic receiver you love watching on the Colts? Our pal Michael Pittman.
Alec Pierce is great.
Got llamas.
Pittman's pretty good. Josh Downs looks like a star. I like a lot of the Colts players. It's weird.
I mean, they just played on Sunday Night Football, and it was unwatchable.
That was a horrible game. I don't know what happened. But the Vikings also sort of take teams out of it, too.
So do the Jets.
Right.
That's true.
Honestly, give me all the Jets you want. At least the Jets, they're going to do something either good or wildly embarrassing. The Colts,
I'll speak for the rest of America. We don't want no more New York teams. Just keep the New York teams off. I'm hoping they could flex Thanksgiving. In fact, we got to watch the Giants.
Giants,
Cowboys.
Oh, my God. How about this Giants-Panther-Germany game?
Combined 4-14 record, and Dave Canales is playing mind games, not announcing a quarterback. What are we doing here, man?
Well, normally I get stressed out to watch that early morning Sunday game. I mean, unless New York Daily News is hiring me to write a story on that game, I will watch zero snaps. And especially if Andy Dalton's not starting, then that is literally the worst matchup in the history of European games.
Honestly, we got a big thing happening later today. I worry about the diplomacy and our standing around the world with Giants.
Clearly, Panthers. we don't like Germany because we sent the Colts and the freaking Patriots there last year.
It's like a football tariff.
We send the worst teams to that country for some reason.
No, we gave them the Chiefs one time.
That one time when Tua made the worst throw in the history of the NFL, they were like, "This guy is supposed to be an average quarterback."
I'm never really happy.
It was supposed.
They're probably
to...
so drunk it doesn't matter. I mean, all that beer. And by the way, we're ones to talk.
Yeah, Germany also knows it's football. That is.
Oh, they know football, all right.
Yeah, I mean, I used to be a big Ryan Fire fan back in the day.
Would be.
Those were really good crowds.
Jumped off the bandwagon for the Frankfurt
Flames.
No, listen, I
city in Germany.
Barcelona was my team, and then the Rain Fire got... No, I'm just kidding. I have no idea. I do remember I really liked Rohan Davey, the former LSU quarterback, was killing it in Europe back in the day.
I thought we were talking about German football. I thought we were going to talk about Bayern Munich.
Oh, yeah.
Dortmund.
But it is true. Germany,
wouldn't that be great on your tombstone? I was killing it in Europe.
Yeah. Germany loves football because there were so many American servicemen over there. That is really, that's where they should go. That more than England, even, I think.
I think they're looking at it.
Yeah. Now they're looking at the Colts and Giants and those terrible teams. Yeah. Whoever they're playing, the Panthers.
We'll stick with soccer. Thanks, guys.
I think NFL series, they don't know any better, like, right? Like,
I think they do.
If two soccer teams were here, we wouldn't know if they were.
Oh, yes, we would.
Well, you would know on reputation. But if the teams were down, the quality of play is still whatever, right? Or you would know.
Well, I mean, you would know. Now, when they do come in the summer, it's like spring training for them. So they don't always see the top tier guys, or at least all of them. It's not like a regular season game, so you're not getting.
Well, that's what Germany's getting this week.
Yeah, this game barely counts. Well, actually, for draft positioning, this is pretty big. Do you think the German crowd understands that? Do they think they know Mel Kiper? Do you translate Kiper into German?
Let's discuss relegation while we're there.
But I say they don't even understand tanking because they have relegation.
Yeah,
right. They don't even understand the idea of losing on purpose to get better players.
Well, I want German Mel Kiper. It's like. Good tug. I can't even do a diaper.
Oh, God.
We need to call back that guy, the guy in Maryland. Remember we had the caller who sounded like Mel Kiper?
Oh, yes.
But also would not stop talking. Which, honestly, kind of like Mel Kiper.
Love the guy. Guten tug. Love him. 2.45 speed. I can't do Kiper.
Oh, jeez, Louise. That was worse than one of my impressions.
Nothing will be worse than your... Who's your golfer?
Name anybody.
Yes. Who's the golfer?
Cam Smith.
Sometimes my accent gets confused. British accents. That actually sounds a little Indian. Now I'm all over the place.
Whoa. Based on EJ's English accent, this is not for the international audience.
I seem to have totally lost the Australian accent. I had it for a minute, and now I'm going between American and English.
You just offended half of the Western Hemisphere.
What are you talking about? We have to a boot.
Sorry, and now we're back to the Eastern Hemisphere.
I can do Canada.
I'm
sorry, I can do Canada, Maggie. Canada? That's like, they say three words differently. Sounds nice.
You can't do any of them.
Back. I can do Chris Berman.
Nope.
Nobody circles the wagons like the Maggie and Perloff show. This is Boomer. Daniel Jones and Bryce Young on the Rhine.
Is he a bookie? I don't understand. His voice is.
Andy, just relax.
You have a Tommy gun over there? What's happening?
By the way, yes, your Berman is the same as your Sandler.
Wait.
That can't be.
You got
your gangster.
Everybody can do a Berman. Let's see your Berman.
No, I don't do impersonations. Well, okay, I wouldn't do that.
Back. That is actually dead accurate. If I do that to a sports fan, they know I'm doing Chris Berman. At least give me that.
Well, if you did back, they would get it in whatever voice you did it in. But they wouldn't think you're doing Berman's voice.
That Andrew. I think you have to lower your bar, Bogus, for my accuracy here. I think Berman is dead on. He's Berman, then.
The pity Maggie's looking at you with right now is remarkable.
So I attempt a German Mel Kiper, and I'm the jerk. Meanwhile... You've been globetrotting.
What is that?
That's Chris Berman. That's every single highlight, every single video he's ever had. Andrew Bogus.
He's not Jabba the Hutt.
You never notice. Wait, have you ever seen SportsCenter? This is Chris Berman.
I don't remember Chris Berman doing that noise.
That I don't know if you've ever even heard of Chris Berman. Yeah, thank you.
That's pretty good. It's better than Perloff's.
It's week seven. Yeah, circle the wagons.
Tough.
No. Honestly, all my other impressions are bad, but everybody can do a Chris Berman because that's exactly what he sounds like. I'm sorry. I'm not going to relent on this.
Guten Tag. Scary Maggie's back. It's like a threat. Guten Tag.
So that was supposed to be Mel Kiper doing German.
No, yes. Yes, and there's my bourbon.
Oh, now I get it.
Yeah, here we go. I might as well be Frank Caliendo on my bourbon.
Here we go. Man, I felt like it was in the room with Berman. Leather.
Sports, it was supposed to be the game of opening night in men's college basketball, but number 6, Gonzaga, hammered 8th-ranked Baylor in Spokane, 101-63. That's the Zags' largest margin of victory ever over a top 10 opponent. Women's number one, South Carolina, sidestepping unranked Michigan, just 68-62 in Vegas. Steph Curry was back for the Warriors last night, 24 points in a 125-112 win in Washington after missing three with a bad left ankle.
My ankle feels fine. It's just you don't want to be in a position where you get fatigued and put yourself in jeopardy. So this is a good stepping stone.
Paul George and his bad left knee made their season and Sixers debut last night in Phoenix. He scored 15 points in 32 minutes, but those Suns won 118-116 on a Kevin Durant hoop with 24 seconds left.
Did George push anyone after the game? Is what's going on? Any drama?
I think they got out unscathed. Yeah, I think they behave themselves. Nikola Jokic, 28 points, 14 boards, 14 assists in the Nuggets, 121-119 home win over the Raptors. The Rockets held off the Knicks somehow, 109-97, and the Jazz got their first win of the season, 135-126 in Chicago. And Gerrit Cole is staying with the Yankees after all. He has basically unopted out of his four-year $144 million deal. Extension talks between the club and their ace will continue. Guys, back to you.
Bogus, thank you so much. Coming up, lots more to do on this very, very busy Tuesday. It is the NFL trade deadline. Prolof and I have trades that gotta happen before the deadline. Say, was it 4 p.m. Eastern?
I think so, yeah.
It's trade deadline day.
Sounds like Perloff just died.
Are you in the toilet? What's going on here?
Yeah, that's what bourbon sounds like. I just sent you Frank Caliendo doing bourbon, and it's pretty much all noises.
None of which you've made in a segment.
EJ, that visual was just wrong. Just wrong. People are trying to get their day going. It's a tense day around here.
Who does number two work for?
Oh, my God.
Hell yeah.
It's trade deadline day. Get your fiber.
Goodness.
Nobody circles the wagons like the Maggie and Perloff show. This is Boomer.
Sounds like army middies.
Back.
All right, let's go to break. We're back with trades we want to see next.
Hello, Maggie.
Welcome back, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We've gotten all of our Chris Berman impressions out of our system now, I think.
Okay.
Let's go to Rich, who's in California, wants to talk about Christian McCaffrey returning to practice. How are the 49er faithful feeling now, Rich?
I don't know, but I think maybe a little curbing of the enthusiasm might be in order. Because number one, you're talking about 30-year-old cranky Achilles tendons. They don't tend to get better without surgery. The other thing that would concern me would be also Trey Greenlaw. He needs to be back to make the defense a whole lot better. So I'm hoping that the 49ers aren't going to use McCaffrey like they used him during the Super Bowl run, because he's going to be the target of every defensive coordinator that they play.
Yeah, but
don't they have some help for him, Rich? Like with Garendo looking good and obviously Jordan Mason. Like, can't they use him as a part-time player in a sense compared to like what he usually is, which is 80% of the offense?
Well, that's exactly the point. Do you really want to? Are you really trusting a Super Bowl run to guys like Garendo, who's okay, and the other runner's name escapes me right now?
Patrick Taylor, Jordan Mason.
Yeah, Jordan Mason. Again, they're number two and number three for a reason.
Yeah, but in a Shanahan offense, Rich, I feel like, you know, they've had this before where guys can come out of nowhere in the run game and really hold the fort for you. And again, you're right. You need McCaffrey for the stretch run here. But I just look around at the rest of the NFC, and thank you for the call. And yeah, the Packers and the Detroit Lions, Perloff, they look good. Mm-hmm. But Jordan Love is definitely hurt. He's definitely playing through an injury. Who else in the NFC is really scaring you? Your Philadelphia Eagles, even you don't believe in. The Commanders have a rookie quarterback, so it's virtually impossible. It's never happened before that a rookie quarterback's gone to the Super Bowl. I mean, the rest of the NFC is kind of breaking right for the 49ers to make a run.
I mean, not as much as last year. I think it's a harder road than last year, because Detroit's a better team, even without Hutchinson. Nah, maybe that. And also, too, I think the Packers are coming back. I mean, this was a disaster for the Packers on Sunday where it was raining. They still doubled in yardage, the Lions. Like, and this was a hurt Jordan Love.
Yeah.
I don't know why people are counting that team out. I think, remember, there's a whole half a season left. We don't know anything yet. There's going to be a completely different group of players by the time we get to mid-January.
I think that bodes well for the 49ers. You're getting Christian McCaffrey back. Juwan Jennings is getting healthy. Jake Moody, your kicker, is getting healthy. Dre Greenlaw is getting healthier. Like, this is... When you're talking about the second half of the season, that's a good thing for the 49ers. This bodes well for them. Who wants to be peaking right now? Peaking in November does nothing for you.
Right. No, I think the Niners are in fine shape, but I don't think it's because the NFC is weak. Or the NFC... like. I think the NFC is a little better than last year. Like last year, the Cowboys and the Eagles were coming out of the NFC East. They were terrible in the playoffs. The Packers were a year away. So it was really their only big competition was the Lions last year. Now, even with the Hutchinson injury, it feels like you have a sort of superpower on your block with the Lions. It feels like a much harder path. Last year, the Niners were the dominant team. I feel like I still think they're going to seek in the playoffs. By the way, one thing, Isaac Garendo, am I missing something here? That guy looks like he's going to be an NFL star. He was a fourth round pick, which is pretty high for a running back, ran a 4.33. Like, I agree with you. Like, this is a Kyle Shanahan offense. I don't care who's a running back. They are going to come at you downhill. I am, honestly, I'm the only one here. I'm worried about the defense. I think they're just blah.
Today is trade deadline day. You're welcome to call in about the 49ers, 855-212-4227.
Oh, yeah.
Perloff and I have two trades each that we want to see get done before the deadline today. I know you've been working on this tirelessly.
I mean, I have a lot. Actually, I have more, but these are all like, I'm in fantasy football mode. There's a little problem with some of them. It's called the NFL salary cap.
You already told me that's a figment of our imagination.
Yeah, but it seems like teams love talented players. Teams hate expensive players. That is the lesson. So that's the sort of balance here. We all look at a team like the 49ers. Obviously, they need pass rush help, but do they take on a Hassan Reddick contract? Like, what do you do as a cap manager? And like, how much you sell out for now when your cap is going to get all messed up next year? That's the big debate around the league. But I think we're going to see some action.
Actually, John Lynch said the phones have been crazy ringing off the hook because you have a lot of teams that have two wins. We have nine teams in the NFL with two wins. So you would think, even with 17-week season, teams have got to be thinking about the long term. If you got two wins right now, I mean, you got to be thinking about how are we just going to make the team better for next year. So give me your first trade.
Okay. Very, very unlikely, but should happen. I think the Dolphins should trade Tyreek Hill for a haul. Okay, San Francisco would be obviously the natural fit. They desperately need a wide receiver because Ayuk is out. Debo is on and off the field. Ricky Pearsall doesn't look like he's going to be explosive this year. They need a weapon, and he'd be perfect because he could do all the little things. So if you had Tyreek Hill, you wouldn't have to worry about McCaffrey's health. Now, the question is the Dolphins. The Dolphins should give up. Like, what are you doing here? You're 2-6. And your quarterback is on this big deal that he's never going to stay healthy for. Like, what are you playing for? You're playing for next year? Hill's going to be 31. Jalen Ramsey's going to be 32. I don't know who. Everybody's hurt on the defense. Teron Armstead's going to retire after this year, apparently. He's 33. No one's going to be there next year. I don't know what you're doing here. Like, what are you building for? So you might as well start that rebuild and get a first-round pick for Tyreek Hill, in my opinion. And I think a lot of Dolphin fans are with me. I think they've given up on this team.
Do you really think you're getting a first-round pick for Hill still?
I think you might. I think he's just way different than DeAndre Hopkins. I think he's way different than Davante Adams. Definitely different than Amari Cooper. Those guys are just most of them are a slight bit older than Hill, and they're just Tyreek Hill's speed is stuck with him. Those guys, even DeAndre Hopkins, as awesome as he was last night, dude's slow. So I think that Hill is a difference maker. Yeah, I think you could get a first-round pick for him. I don't think they're going to do it. I think they're committed to this Tua thing, but I don't know why.
Man, this would be bizarre. They never do stuff like this. But what about Tyreek Hill going to the Packers? We were just talking about the Packers needing a number one, like a true number one. It could end up being Reed, but it's not maybe him this year. Maybe he'll turn into that. I was thinking maybe the Packers could use him, but I just don't see the Green Bay Packers making a move like that.
Nope, you're right.
They don't draft wide receivers in the first round, let alone trading a first-round pick for a 30-plus-year-old receiver.
Well, I mean, listen, the Chiefs traded Tyreek Hill because they thought he wasn't worth the money, and they won two Super Bowls. The Packers traded Davante Adams because they thought he wasn't worth the money, and they continue to win. So I think certain teams think we're not paying up a wide receiver.
Who?
for me, the trade I want to see is, we're talking about the Lions. I don't know if they necessarily even need a pass rusher to, you know, fill in for Aiden Hutchinson, but this is kind of a twofold thing. I kind of want to see Cam Jordan be on a winner.
Yeah.
He's been a great player. He is a Hall of Fame player. He's on the Saints. The Saints are going nowhere. Mm. And wouldn't that be a cool story? I don't know how people in New Orleans would feel about it, but the guy has been a good ambassador for your team. Go to the Detroit Lions and try to win a Super Bowl in what might be your last year in the league.
I'm a little torn on this one because I'm a Cam Jordan super fan, like everybody in the media is, because he's the coolest guy on Super Bowl row every year. I do want to see him retire as a Saint, though. I agree with you.
He's
a Saint for life, and you're right. He deserves a chance to win at the highest level, but it is a little weird for him to leave now. And that being said, he'd be great. He'd be a great fit there. He's still a great player. All right. Bye. I'm running out of time. I have another Saint that I desperately want to trade.
All right.
Desperately.
Hold on to it.
Oh, I want this player to go to a new team so badly.
Get to that next. 855-212-4227. How did it all go down in Kansas City last night? We've got the details for you and an update on Patrick Mahomes' ankle. Aggie Aprola.